Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting, broadcasting, broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world, to the world, to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Well, greetings and welcome to Topically Yours on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul. And as always, I'm your host, Deirdre Schuler. Well, look outside, folks. If you're in New York, you know it's fall. But the trees are relatively still green with some sprinkles of color starting to show on the leaves. Well, another turn of the season. And my guest today, Eddie Palmieri, is a pretty seasoned performer herself. He has been on the show before, and it's always a pleasure to talk with him. His fans in New York, however, will be happy to know that Mr. Palmieri will be kicking off the 33rd season of Lehman Center for the Performing Arts on Saturday, September 28th at 8 p.m., so be sure to catch that show. Eddie Palmieri has had a musical career that has spanned over 50 years as a bandleader of both salsa and Latin jazz orchestras. He was born in Spanish Harlem and began piano studies at an early age, and he even played the drums for a while. His discography includes about 36 titles, and he is the winner of 9 Grammy Awards. The first Grammy he received was in 1975 for a recording entitled The Son of Latin Music. It's phenomenal and historic because it was the first time the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences even recognized Latin music. And he also won awards for compositions such as Unfinished Masterpiece, Palo Pamramba in 84, Silito in 85, and La Verde in 1987. He received both a Latin Grammy and a traditional Grammy for his 2000 release with Tito Puente entitled Obra Maestra, which is Masterpiece. And Listen Here won in 2006 and Simpatico in 2007. In fact, Simpatico was recognized by the Jazz Journalists Association as the best Latin jazz album. And also in 2010, he was inducted into the Long Island Music Hall of Fame. This year, the NEA Jazz Masters recognized him, and Eddie Palmieri is soon to be honored with the Latin Recording Academy's Lifetime Achievement Award on Wednesday, November 20th. In Las Vegas, at the Four Seasons Hotel, as part of a week-long 14th annual Latin Grammy Award celebration. Well, the man has had so many numerous awards, I can't even mention all of them. But he's here with us, so I might as well just have him talk.
Good afternoon, Deidre.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Listen, after that introduction you just gave me, I'm going to hang up.
Oh, no.
That was absolutely wonderful. Thank you very, very much.
You're quite welcome. I was reading all your honors. I said, oh, my God, he's got such a long list. I couldn't possibly mention them all. I was thinking about that you had come a long way since your days with Eddie Forrester's orchestra and Johnny Segu's band and Tito Rodriguez's orchestra. Isn't that when your career began?
Well, I started first I had my own orchestra, you know, like a young, with around the block, my buddies and that. And that must have been about 1952, I would say. But I had started playing timbales with my uncle when I was 13. He had an orchestra with two guitars and another uncle playing conga and that. It was called El Chino y su Alma Tropical. And a trumpet and bongo, and I was a timbalero at 13. And then after 2 years, then I made a deal with my uncle, because I was already playing piano at 11 years old. I started earlier, about 8 or 9, and then by 11 I was studying with Miss Margaret Barnes. She was a concert pianist teaching in the Carnegie Hall building. She had a studio up there. And my brother was her student, and he recommended me. So eventually I saw myself, and excuse the expression, but I saw myself getting a hernia with the drums. So I went back to the piano, and my mother made that possible because she bought me the heaviest case for the timbales, and she knew that I was under the category that humans tend to satisfy their desires with the minimum of physical or mental labor, and she was right. So she won, and I went back to the piano, and I'm so happy I did that. And then after that, I started with a band called Eduardo Forrester. At that time, there was bands like Elmo Garcia, Jose Boudet. These were bands that were in that area where then they were like, let's say, a double A, or like if they compare them to like teams, because you had that triple A would be like Marcelino Guerra or Miguelito Valdez and then Julian Dino, these other bands. But these are the men, Eddie Foster was very, very talented, and I learned a lot with him. And then I went from there. I started with my brother, said, listen, if you want to really get into this, you got to start with a really professional band, and that was Johnny Segui at the Cabo Rojeno. And Johnny Segui was certainly a triple, you know, three-star band because his book was, he was a copyist. He was an artist, but he was a copyist. So he would copy and arrange it for these orchestras that were recording constantly, and then he would keep a copy for himself. He would say, look, I want you to give me a copy, and they would say, of course, you know. So he had a very interesting book to read. But when I got fired immediately, because there was another gentleman called, a Cuban player called it, I forget his first name, Cuban, Jose, no, I don't want to, all I know is that they call him Pancho the Keyboard Breaker, which is Spanish for Pancho Rompetecla. And they fired me because they said I hit the piano too hard, me when he was breaking all the notes, you know. But I guess they wanted me out one way or the other. And they told the band leader, either you fire the piano player or you're fired. So I left right away, and that could have been the best thing that happened to me because my brother would recommend me to different bands. And that's when I walked into the band of Vicentico Valdez. Vicentico Valdez was the singer for Tino Puente in the 50s, and my brother Charlie was in that band. Manny Oquendo was in that band, and Momo Santa Maria was in that band, the Conjunto. And then Vicentico leaves to make his own band in 1954, and by 1956, I joined the orchestra. I took the piano chair from a gentleman called Tommy Garcia, who had played with Tito Rodriguez for many, many years. And then I stood with Vicentico for 2 years. I never recorded with him, merely because he always had Rene Hernandez, who was a true genius, and my musical godfather. He was the pianist for the great Machito and his Afro-Cuban band. So I never was able to record with Vicentico. Then I went with Pete Terrence for a year. I recorded an album with him, and then I came back with Vicentico and did 58, and then I went with Tito Rodriguez. My brother recorded me with Tito Rodriguez, recommended me, and I stayed with Tito Rodriguez for 2 years, and I recorded one album with him called Live at the Palladium, which to me is a classic of Latin jazz and the Latin dance music. It was really something special. It was done live in the Palladium with a great orchestra. And then from there, I left Tito a little late after that, after we did an engagement in Vegas, California. And then I formed my own band. And that orchestra turned out to be La Perfecta. With
was that in 1961?
61, exactly right. And Barry Rogers, who I had met at a place called the Tritons, that he was doing an after a jam session with Johnny Pacheco. And I knew the owner called Pecco, Jose Angel Rosado, and he had a social club. You couldn't, no liquor, but you could bring your own liquor in that. And Pacheco would run Tuesdays as a jam session. Plus, he was hotter than, he was hot, you know, because he had just recorded an album with his own charanga band, and he sold 100,000 45 CDs, and nobody could believe that. We didn't believe that existed, you know. But Johnny did it, and then from there, I meet Barry Rogers, and then we get together, and then little by little, we get a next different trombone players until Jose Rodriguez, the Brazilian via Santo Domingo, joins the orchestra, and when that combination meets, there's no two combinations that will ever equal or surpass those two trombone players, in my opinion. And that that orchestra stood together till 1968. And after I stood with Jose Rodriguez, and that's when the great Chocolate Armenteros, the Cuban trumpet player, joins the band, and we recorded. I heard you playing it before, Vámonos Pa Monte. That is Chocolate playing solo. He's one of the greatest soloists and trumpet players and friend that I could have had on the bandstand.
Well, thank you for introducing the song, because I wasn't sure I was going to pronounce it correctly. But also, your band, La Perfecto, featured a trombone section instead of trumpets, as you were mentioning, which was something rare in Latin music at the time, wasn't
well,
it?
Well, I have a very dear friend named Rennie Lopez. In fact, we're having lunch right now with Bob Sancho, who's the one that's made it possible to be in Neiman College, but plus the greatest MC in the world. And Rennie had told me that when La Perfecta came to be, it changed the whole precedent of orchestras in New York City right away, because the trombones were always in sections, in the big band section. You had saxophones, trombones, and trumpet. Now we got two trombone players up front, and one of them is an extremely active transmitter, which meant that he could play that trombone. He could solo. He knew and comprehended the Latin rhythmical pattern because he studied that. He played with a band called, a black orchestra called Hugo Dickens, and he had all that down pat. And then listening to the bands, and plus, we had a flute player called George Castro with play wooden flute and another trombone, and those two trombones were up front, and nobody ever had never seen anything like that. As a matter of fact, let me put it this way. When La Perfecta appeared, all the trombones in all the pawn shops were gone as fast as possible, because all the bands then started to get trombones, and they still have them. So we really said something very special. Yeah.
And you did something
else. And
they
were known in the castle. When we played in the castle, we were known as the Orchestra of the Roaring Elephants.
Ah. And you did something else. Well, you're truly an innovator. And in fact, I understand you surprised the music world again when you recorded River. Was it River Drive?
Harlem River Drive.
Harlem River Drive, because it
right.
was the first time they to merge black and Latin music in a free form of the elements of salsa and soul and jazz and funk.
Right. And I have some friends, dear friends, that now we have they just made it possible for my brother Charlie Palmieri to have the Charlie Palmieri Way, where I was born on 112th Street between Madison and Park. And since I recorded Harlem River Drive, I would like the Harlem River Drive to be turned into the Eddie Palmieri Turnpike, and I'll put up my own personal toll.
How about that? No tolls, no tolls.
Yeah, a mini toll. 25 for the schools, 25 for the community, you know, the stickball team, and 50 cents for me. What's wrong with that?
No, you're saying 25 cents? Nothing wrong with
25 cents. 25, no, 25
okay.
and 50 for me.
Nothing
I think my brother's 25. Yeah. Anyway, that's just a little bit of humor, but I'm very honest that my brother's getting his own street in Harlem, where we were born. I was born in 112th Street between Madison and Park.
Oh, Spanish Harlem.
It was 60 East 112th Street, and my brother's going to get his street name. It was just passed by the community there, and again, Mr. Bob Sanchez in charge of that, and he is going to get his street. And a gentleman called Carlos Diaz from the community neighborhood. And he'll have the Charlie Palmieri Way at the end of the year, hopefully. Next year, he'll come in.
Well,
so you gotta
congratulations
come down there,
to him.
Sure, thank you.
Wonderful.
And I want to thank you for playing my music and everybody, the music that you play and everything that you're doing. And thank you for this interview.
Oh, it's always my pleasure to talk to you. In fact, I'm going to end the song of the show with Tutu Tata.
Tutu Tata, she was the lady that she was a friend. Her name was Gladys, and she would be the ones that would, on Fridays, she would be in charge of all the seatings of all the Hispanic gamblers and the ladies of the night, if we want to call them. And she packed that place up, and Mr. Hyman, the owner, loved it. She brought in a lot of money, and she would tell you when she met you, my darling, when I say tutu, you must say tata and alegrías. And that's what I recorded, Tutu Tata.
I loved it when I listened to it, so I'm going to play that. But I want to mention, since you're going to be kicking off Lehman Center's 33rd season on September 28th, that's a Saturday.
33rd both. Season at Lehman is going to be with something quite special. And what I mean by special is that it's a whole new rhythm section.
Wow.
And that we're featuring now the most primitive drum, in my opinion, which is the bata drums that were used strictly for religious purposes in Cuba. This, Cuba in particular right now, we're talking Cuba, because that's where that's the country, the island that put the world to dance. And they used that for their deities, and they used the Catholic religion as the camouflage, and they did very well with that. Santa Barbara was Chango and down the line. So
no, the African god.
Yeah, those African rhythmical patterns then became dance music. Eventually, other bands started in the 20s and 30s, and it's a history which is just absolutely beautiful, and that's my religion.
Well, isn't there a history of making the drum as a spiritual drum in Cuba?
Oh, yeah. But remember, when the captain was brought to Cuba by the Spaniard, and you're a captive because when you're taken out of your country, you're not a slave. You turn into a slave later by the whippings and the beatings, which is incredible how the suffering that they went through brought the happiness of the world to dance till this day and forever. So the Spanish that brought them in, eventually, even though there was an ordinance, they allowed them to build drums again. And after they carried 100 pounds of tobacco and sugar, they had drums made, and then they would play drums, and then from there naturally, the evolution and the crystallization of those rhythmical patterns became dance music to other band leaders that were writing for the community, and the history is just beautiful, really.
Well,
so I want to use those drums, which are commercialized now.
Wow,
the power drums,
great.
They're allowed to be used. You know, that's the one time you couldn't do that, but now we're doing it, and we have some great guitar players, and plus we have the great Joe Locke on vibraphones. We have Donald Harrison, Chief Donald Harrison, coming from New Orleans, and he's the greatest alto, in my opinion, and plus he's the chief of African tribes that his father had seven. He has two that he controls now. The god of the baritone, which is Ronnie Cuba. And then we have, I would have to say, the god of the violin to me in the genre that we play in, which is the only one can do that. His name is Alfredo de la Fe.
Uh-huh. And you have little Johnny Rivero as well, right?
Little Johnny Rivero will be playing conga and bata. And we have Camilo Sendeño playing conga. Molina, excuse me. Camilo Molina. Thank you, everything. He just joined the band. He's going to be playing bata also in timbales. And then we have the great Anthony Carrillo playing bongo and bata. He'll be playing the lead bata, which is called the Iya.
Well,
it's gonna be. I would have to say, concentrated power on stage.
And you're also sharing it with the Mambo Legends Orchestra.
The Mambo Legends. They're great. You know, they have a history of their own. They were alumni of the Tito Puente Orchestra, and I already told them that if they heat the bandstand too much, I'll never talk to them again. They're going to open up the show, and then we'll close it.
Well, I'm sure you'll both be great, but everybody will be there for you.
Thank you. And all for us. And when we share the bandstand, we respect each other's band, and it's going to be a wonderful evening. And that's been put together by Robert Sancho, and he does that annually. And those goes to a special fund for students and all, and the hospital. Of Lebanon Hospital. So it's going to be something very special, and it's sacred.
Well, also something very interesting is your new CD you're working on. Are you going to play some music for that?
Oh, the new CD. The new CD is so frightening that I'm deciding not to let it come out. You can't take it. You just can't take it.
Well, what if we want
it? It's called, in Spanish, Sabiduría. In English, it's called Wisdom. And there's one composition, Wisdom, that has Marcus Miller on bass for the first time, Bernard Purdy on drums, Dave Spinoza, the guitarist that played with Paul McCartney and also with John Lennon. He's the greatest guitarist in New York City. Ronnie Cuba and the three bata drums. It's quite exciting and different. And plus, it started for a documentary, for a basketball documentation, and it was recorded for that. And then my son said, if that's the case, let's keep recording. And we made a beautiful CD, and we ended it with the composition called Wisdom. The album will be called Wisdom, and it'll be out next year.
Well, now, when I heard that you were doing this new CD, Sabiduría, I thought, okay, so it means wisdom. Is this like a CD that's reflective of a passage of your life? And is each song, each recording you put out, a phase of your life?
What did you say about my life?
This one is wisdom.
What did you say? When you heard it said wisdom, it was a one of my life?
A passage in your life. And
that wouldn't fit in no CD. I gave you the package of my life. The different compositions, three of them were done for documentary, thank you, of basketball in the street. And then we kept recording, and we made a CD out of it. It's really a Latin jazz CD with extensions with the great Donald Harrison, Ronnie Cuba, and Joe Locke and my fellows that are playing different compositions. Then in the last composition, they're all going to show up together on stage in the Leaven.
Ah.
But then we did Sabiduria Wisdom, which will not be played on stage because that's next year, and that's going to have to be with these other gentlemen like Marcus Miller, Bernard Purdy with drums. It's a whole other ballgame, and three batas also.
Oh, okay. So we have to wait till next year when you'll be back to hear it.
Next year, but it's going to be a unique CD. I guarantee it.
Well, we'll be looking
better than that guy. I'm better than that guy that used to sell suits. That when you bought, you know, for the men's suits things, and then he would say that you look great. I guarantee it. Forget it. Then they fired him. I'm still here. So you know.
So this is going to be different and more unique than anything you've done so far.
I would say it's going to be in the category of, in my opinion, the recordings I have done have been all unique, you know, not only because I'm saying it, but if you check the personnel, they're the best personnel that ever existed in that time. They're great musicians, and when you have great musicians, then you have quality. And when you have quality, you can't top that. But this is certainly a unique CD, and I'm very happy because I hadn't recorded in quite a while. And it goes in the genre of Latin jazz.
Ah, fantastic! I love Latin jazz. Now, if anybody can get it, I assume on CD Baby or Amazon, or it'll be in all the stores, correct?
Oh yeah, and if it'll be in all the stores. Plus, I have a backpack, and I'll be walking around Harlem and all that, selling them, you know, myself.
Oh, that's right. We can probably buy it at your concerts next year.
Yeah, it's a very special CD, and please accept my humor, because I'm in a very good mood. I'm with two great friends, the people that are involved in having the concert that we're talking about, and I'm always honored to play for them, and I happen to love them both very much.
Well, keep being funny. We can have a great sense of humor. I love that.
Rather than having
people that don't talk at all, I've had some people that come on, I have to pull their teeth to get them to say something.
Oh,
I love it. Now, I just want to say to your listeners and to the people that want to come and see your show at Leaven on the 28th, that's Leaven Center for the Performing Arts. And if you're driving, it's at 250 Bedford Park Boulevard West in the Bronx. And if you're coming by subway, you can take the D or the 4 train to Bedford Park Boulevard stop. And if you want to buy tickets, I suggest to call the box office now because there'll be hot seats, hot tickets. So that's 718-960-8833. And also you can go online at www.leamancenter.org and get your tickets. Now, I mentioned that you're going to receive...
Now, wait, Jesus, you're going to be there or what?
You know it.
All right.
I hope
so
you can take a picture with me.
To you, too.
Well, if I can see you backstage, we'll take a picture.
All right. Definitely.
Now, I also wanted to mention, because you are a very, very popular guy, my God. So many awards.
Well, thank you very much. But, you know, I find myself also having lunch right now, and so it's and I want to give you the longest, you know, interview I can, but I'm also I had this appointment before I knew about the interview, so please accept my apology that I'm trying to rush you a little bit.
No, in fact, we're about to end this because I only have three more questions and then we're out.
But if you got three more questions, I have three more answers. Go ahead.
Okay, I was mentioning that you've received several awards and you're about to go to Las Vegas for the Latin Recording Academy's Lifetime Achievement Award. Are you excited about that?
Award. Yes, I'm very, it's an honor. It's an honor, you know, that's happening. And we're going to see if I'm able to be there, because I don't know if I'm traveling at that date or not. But we're going to see. And I appreciate it very, very much from Laris.
And I also know that you're going to be touring. Leaven is one stop, but you'll be in Maryland, New Jersey, San Francisco, and et cetera. Are you?
That's right. Exactly right. And I'm also starting next Monday teaching at Rutgers University, a special course every Monday for the till the end of the semester. And if it goes well, it looks like I might be able to stay in the faculty there. We'll see.
Wonderful. My other question was, because we know you're doing the States, but are you going out of the country anytime this year or next year?
Yes, I'm leaving for 2 days in October. I'm going to go to Uganda. Guyana is next to Venezuela. Guyana, which I've gone there before, and then we're going to go from there to Paris, France, and then we come back. We're doing two engagements.
Lovely. I hope you have a great time.
And we had a great tour this summer. We went to France, we went to Germany, we went to Spain, we went to Bosnia. It's unbelievable where we went all over the place. And then we went to Switzerland twice, and we closed at a place called Lugano.
Fantastic.
Serbia, I think it was where I went. No, I went to Croatia, not Serbia.
Oh, wow. Eastern Europe.
Yeah, and then it was great because they had us by where they had the fish, you know, and the boats and that, and then you had to take a special boat to go to this little island, and then another big, like a cruise ship, we drop with 400 people, and that's where the concert was. Nobody lives there, but they do the concert there annually, and then we came back.
Well, it's been wonderful talking to you, and it sounds like you had
thank
a great
you,
year,
dear.
And another
and
wonderful year on the way.
Much. You have great questions, and in the introduction, after you gave me that introduction, I don't think my hat will fit on. my head is swollen now, and the eagle sets in, and it's going to be hard to put on my cap.
Well, as long as you're at lunch, at least you'll still be able to eat.
All right, my dear. Thank you very, very much. And I'm looking forward to seeing you the
28th.
The rehearsal on the 27th. All right, the 28th, right. Thank you so very, very much.
You're quite welcome, and it's been a pleasure.
They have somebody very special there, and I thank you very much for the interview.
It's my pleasure. And again, folks, if you want tickets, you can call Lehman Center's box office at 718-960-8833. And again, online at www.lehmancenter.org. And we've been talking to Eddie Palmieri, the great salsa and Latin jazz. What would I call him? Aficionado.
Thank you so much, Deidre.
And we're going to end the show.
With what? What are you going to play?
Tutu-tata. Tutu-tata.
Tutu-tata. Okay. Thank you again, Deidre. Have a wonderful day. And a wonderful every day and a wonderful year. Bye.
Thank you so much. And this is the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Soul. I'm Deirdre Schuler, and I want to thank my audience for making my topic topically yours. And as I promised, we are going to end the show with Eddie Palmieri's Tutu Tata.
Do.
been listening to the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul.